You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 17 June, we've got U.S. retail sales, 2:30 p.m. this afternoon. Month-on-month expected is to be minus 0.1%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Mateta Tulari from RMB. The FOMC is meeting announcement tomorrow evening, 8:30. Do we get a rate cut from them? It's, I don't know. High oil, inflation sticky? Not so sure. Zaid Saad from NMG Benefits on mistakes first-time investors are making, and Trina Flock from Elite Risk. Rising risks of insuring fake luxury goods. I suppose the first point is, how do we know if our luxury good is fake or not? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Reserve Bank unlawfully interfered in ABSA chair appointment, says court. Costs were awarded against respondents, that being both ABSA and the Prudential Authority. Business day, food, power, oil risks could nudge inflation higher in second half of the year. Headline CPI inflation is surprised to downside, but a few factors are likely to push it higher, according to ABSA analysts. Morning markets, US was green last night. The S&P 0.9% higher than NASDAQ, 1.4% higher. The East is mostly red. Sydney's down a quarter. Tokyo's exception up 0.5%. Hong Kong off 0.25%. And Tencent down 0.1%. Commodities are mixed. Gold futures red at $3,403 an ounce. Brent is $73.74. Platinum is red at $1,237. Palladium green at $1,040. The Rand is $17.82. Bitcoin $107,500. And top 40 opening, red open, 450 points or 0.5% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Mateta Tulari, head FX execution at RMB. Mateta, appreciate the early morning. A couple of hours ago, we had the Bank of Japan not changing their rates, keeping at 0.5%. Japan's a weird one, so perhaps not massively relevant to the US. But we've got Jerome Powell and the FOMC tomorrow. I don't know, oil, high inflation, sticky. Your thoughts on whether we could perhaps see a cut or whether we're going to get another hold from the FOMC this week?
Yeah, good morning, Simon. I suppose four straight months of soft inflation prints have really gotten the market betting whether Jerome Powell and his colleagues will be more willing to signal cuts tomorrow evening. I mean, you know, it would be also the fourth straight meeting without a cut, and that could potentially, you know, provoke another tirade from President Trump. I mean, policymakers there at the Fed have been very clear. Before they can make a move, they need the White House to, you know, resolve the big question around tariffs, immigration, taxes, and also the Middle East attacks. They're not helping because that also, you know, brings about of uncertainty for the global economy. So I think what we are expecting is more of a hawkish signal from Jerome Powell and his colleagues tomorrow. But I suppose also, you know, the hawkish signals won't come from, you know, Mr. Powell, who might want to avoid, you know, taking a bit of a hawkish stance to avoid, you know, President Trump, you know, tweeting about him again. But I think he will rather rely on a, you know, a call it the uncertain outlook, and also lean towards the internal forecast that points to eventual inflation, you know, surge from the tariffs that are coming. And I think almost the entire FOMC sees inflation upside risks, I mean, which is also a form of uncertainty, but also it is really going to play into their hands tomorrow. I think that's how they're going to position it to the market. I think now what we're also expecting is most probably only one cut for this year. And I mean, we're expecting Powell to already play down the hawkish dot plot, saying that the committee will most probably consider the economic effects of the totality of the Trump's policies. Also, I mean, you know, there's all these issues that are surrounding the globe. But I think also his message will come out again that it will be data dependent and, you know, the Fed won't be in a hurry to cut rates. So potentially that's what's going to happen. But like we've seen with the Fed over the past couple of years, they do tend to surprise the market and obviously cut. But I think also they might take a cautious approach tomorrow evening.
And as is often the case, it really is a lot more around the press conference, because that's when we get some nuances from Jerome Powell, and listen to, I suppose, the phrasing there, and we try and read the tea leaves.
Exactly. I mean, also, you know, what a lot of the market analysts have been also doing is just also looking at the wording from one meeting to the next. And now, obviously, you know, the previous meeting in May, that was what people were looking at. But now the world is in a different space. I mean, you know, we've got July the 9th coming with the tariffs. Do they come into effect? Don't they come into effect? Mm-hmm. You've got already just last week with the Middle East. And now, you know, that rearing its head up, it provides a level of uncertainty. We're seeing oil, as you say, also kicking up. You know, does the Fed really play into what Mr. Trump has been talking about and wanting a cut? Do they also say, actually, we're going to remain credible and obviously independent and obviously do our own thing? That's also something that needs, you know, it is going to be at the bigger place. So right now, I suppose, you know, I think the market is really on the fence, but potentially the way we see it is that Mr. Powell tomorrow won't do anything. I think he will really rather err on the side of caution.
Yeah, then that certainly that seems to be the consensus. We'll leave it there. Mateta Tulari, head FX execution at RMB. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. What do you think the Federal Reserve is going to do? Do we get a cut, or as Mateta is saying there, no change? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Zaid Saad. He's principal investment consultant, NMG Benefits. Zaid, appreciate the time. Some investment mistakes that folks make. You wrote a great article about some of them. The first one that pops up is waiting too long to start. And I think we, particularly when we're young, it's like, you know what, I'm in my 20s, I can start later. Truthfully, the earlier we start, the better. I mean, heck, starting as a teen is probably even better than in your 20s. The more time, the better.
First, good morning, Simon, and thank you for having me. And yes, look, I'm just going to give a very quick example. It's a question that somebody sometimes asks, what's the difference if I start today or next month? It's only 5,000 rands or 1,000 rands that I'm putting in this investment.
Yeah, yeah.
And one would actually not understand or underestimate the value of compounding. Mm. What this 1,000 rands or this 5,000 rands that you put this month, how much is going to be valued after 10 or 20 years? It depends on the investment journey. So the value of compounding, even the smallest amount, it actually adds up a lot and be substantial in the long term. So it's better to start yesterday, actually. If you miss yesterday, then rather start today.
Correct. If not yesterday, then today. Don't leave it for tomorrow. One that really resonated me was not understanding returns. And you make a point. I mean, you do a 7% return and you think that you're the new Warren Buffett, but inflation's 5%, your fees are 2%, your actual return, your real return is zero. We need to look at the bigger picture, which includes costs and needs to include inflation to get that real return.
100%, Simon. I couldn't have said it better. It's very important because, you know, every portfolio you are invested in has fees. And the financial services provider, they need to be exceptionally transparent about those fees. They need to be open about the hidden fees. And you must understand what is the total investment charges that these SPs are charging. And if you cannot get the net returns at least, which is actually the bottom line, the net returns is your returns after fees. And you have to have a little bit of basic knowledge about inflation and what it is, because at the end of the day, the purchasing power of your money, your money has to actually at least be aligned to inflation so it doesn't lose its value. And that's why we look at the real return after fees and after inflation. And that is the real return. That is really how your money is growing from one year to another.
Yeah, that's your wealth creation. And then next was not matching goals with risks. And this is, I mean, there's lots of moving parts here, but it really is understanding what you're trying to achieve and match those two. It can get maybe complicated. It might need some professional help here, but it's important that we get it right.
Simon, to your point, that is the most important thing, which is understanding what you want to achieve. How long will it take? When we look at risk, there are two things with risk. There is the willingness of taking the risk and the ability of taking the risk. And those two will depend on the time that it takes you to achieve your objective and what your objective is. And you need to align your investment to your objective. What that means is, normally if your objective is a long-term objective, it means your ability to take the risk should be higher, because then the market will absorb that volatility over the long term, while it cannot absorb it on the very short term. And that's why those two have to go aligned together. Otherwise, you are in for some discrepancy in your investment journey.
Yeah, you suddenly get to the other end and you've got the wrong product for what you needed.
100%.
Timing the market, I get the temptation when everyone's excited and markets are at highs, you want to be buying. When everyone's depressed and markets are falling, you want to be selling. Timing is a mug's game. The best thing we do is buy and hold, because getting it right is hard. I mean, I want to say it's almost impossible.
I would say, Simon, it's impossible, because if it was at all possible, you would have all your investment managers, billionaires until now. And look, I understand that timing the market, it comes from a certain panic in terms, but the best thing you can do is, like you said, buy and hold and absorb the volatility of the market, because when the market is rallying and when the market goes down, it rallies afterwards and compensates. Just going to give you a very quick example.
Yeah.
If you had invested 100 rands 20 years ago, you'll end up after 20 years with this 100 rands in the market, buy and hold, you will end up with 2000 rands, let's say, after 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, if you have missed 5 of the best market days during those, not 10 years, 20 years, you would have ended up with 1,000 rands instead of 2,000. So you see, this is substantially adverse impact of trying to time the market, not let alone of you ending up buying high and selling low at the end at the same time.
Yeah, take your point. It's missing those good days, which they come along, and if you're not in there, well, you can't get that back. 100. Diversification, we get that. The other one I really like is reviewing your investments. Our life is changing. Our circumstances are different. I think we get lazy. We kind of fire and forget. We need to go back at least once a year, I suppose, and make sure that everything's still what we need.
That's very important, because remember, circumstances of the people change 1 year after that. And also the markets change. The markets change. So it's very important to revisit your investment at least on an annual basis, or when there are defining market events such as, you know, 2020, like COVID, or when there is a defining market event. It's important to review your strategy and review the risk involved. Just a very quick example, if I may. Mm-hmm. Now, nominal bonds in South Africa are considered like a kind of safe haven, kind of. They're offering high yields. But if there is any probability, and the probability is getting higher, that the government, for example, is going to default on its bonds, then they're not safe anymore. And hence, you have to revisit your risk profile from that end to make sure that this is not a risk-free environment after all. This becomes risky. Not that it was risk-free before, but what I'm saying is it gets more risky when events like that happen. So yeah, it's very important to revisit your investments on a yearly basis.
And I like that analogy, because the bond yields go higher and you think, ooh, this is nice. But of course, that's telling you the risk has changed. That's hugely important.
100%.
We leave it there. 100%. That's Ziad Saad. He's Principal Investment Consultant, NMG Benefits. Appreciate the insights. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Tarina Flock, MD at Elite Risk. Tarina, good to chat again. Early in the year, we had all over TikTok, was all a buzz with Chinese-made luxury brands. Apparently, the wonderful bags we pay a vast amount for actually made in China. There's a lot around that. I suppose my first question is, I mean, what truly defines luxury? I mean, is it just price, or is it quality? What is the defining trend of luxury?
Good morning, Simon. I would say, I think it's a very personal thing, but it's definitely craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of high-end fashion and jewelry, it's most definitely craftsmanship. and quality, and then of course the perceived value also adds to it. But and exclusivity, maybe exclusivity is also a factor.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, because it if you're doing the quality, you can't make thousands of them every month. In terms of fake luxury, do we know how prevalent it is, sort of globally or perhaps even locally? I mean, how much of a challenge is it?
Well, in doing my research for the article, I came across really worrying numbers. Mm-hmm. Like the fake luxury market runs into billions of dollars worldwide. And apparently South Africa is seen as a dumping ground for what they call AAA grade fake. Mm-hmm. Which are very difficult to spot as counterfeits. So yes, it's definitely, and I know of some local designers who also have a problem with reproductions of their items. So it's definitely there's a huge seems to be a big surge globally in this counterfeit trade. I had a discussion yesterday. Sorry, Simon. No, yeah. I had a discussion yesterday with a retailer in this in the high end luxury secondhand market, and they were telling me that that this entire industry is linked to organized crime. So that's really concerning.
Yeah, 100%. And the fact that there is sort of grading, you mentioned AAA there, I hadn't thought of that. There's going to be different types of fake. I suppose the big trick is that you've bought a luxury item, you're now wishing to insure it. How does buyers prove the authenticity? I mean, particularly, I suppose that's really more when it comes to a part of the claim process. But if I've got whatever it might be, a watch, a bag, or something, how do I prove authenticity?
All right, so with fashion and bags, it's very important to keep your invoice. Mm-hmm. There are actually, for secondhand goods, there are very reliable AI-driven authentication sites. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they are very, very accurate. But I think for run-of-the-mill items, keep your purchase invoice. Really, it seems like a bit of admin, but we always ask for it. It doesn't only prove authenticity, but mm-hmm. it also proves ownership, you know?
Oh, so true.
Watches, high-end watches like Rolex, for example, they are a bit easier because there's a register that mm-hmm. the authorized distributors keep, even if it's secondhand. But even for those, for jewelry items, for watches, get a valuation certificate from an authorized dealer. Keep your purchase invoice again, and keep your box with the authentication certificate. Those are so the documentation is very, very important in these items, especially when it comes to having to replace something into the tens or hundreds of thousands of rands. All insurers are going to insist on verification.
And it is around that authorized dealer, because I was going to ask, how do we avoid buying a counterfeit luxury? And I suppose don't buy it from a stranger in a street corner. Don't buy it from a stranger on the internet. It is around going to authorized dealers. There might be resellers, but they will be authorized and legitimate as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, don't buy on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, it is. It's really important, especially when it comes to watches, to buy from authorized dealers, because they pay a lot of money to the manufacturers mm-hmm. to have the right to distribute those watches in country. You know.
Yeah. And don't buy off social media. That's probably true of absolutely everything. We'll leave it there. Tarina Flock, Managing Director, Elite Risk. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. We were chatting with Skalk Lowe from PSG Old Oak back on Friday. Karoo CEO Zach Calisto selling $75 million worth of shares. We asked if the sale bothered you. Almost half said, got no skin in this. A third said, yes, it absolutely does. Not a good sign. The rest were saying, no, directors always net sellers. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, local beauty sector.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.